Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guests this week, oral storytellers Angelica Otterwill and Betty Bennett, who will be performing with the Peterborough Storytellers in Campbellford on World Storytelling Day on Sunday, March 20th. Betty, you are both members of the Peterborough Storytellers. Tell us about that organization.
The Peterborough Storytellers began in 1992, and the impetus for the original group was a course in oral narrative taught by Sean Kane, who was the nephew of the late Alice Kane, who was an icon in the storytelling world in Canada especially. We are members of the Storytellers of Canada, which is an umbrella organization that advocates for storytelling throughout Canada with granting agencies and provides mentoring through workshops and grants to storytelling groups. And we've been fortunate enough to be awarded a grant to help with this World Storytelling Day performance. Our current group has been active since 2008. We've been meeting on the first Wednesday of the month, 8 times a year, at the Peterborough Main Library. There's no admission fee, and the evening begins with a short workshop on some aspect of storytelling and a story by the host of the evening, and that's followed by a tell-around. There's one hard and fast rule about storytelling. The stories must be told and not read.
Angelica, I understand that in this segment we're going to be treated to a short excerpt of one of your stories, a medieval tale called The Faithful Wife. You mentioned earlier that she is courageous, loyal, and has a knowledge of the magical arts. Can you tell us a little more about the heroine?
Sure. This is a story about a woman who dresses up as a man to rescue her husband, and that seems to be a common enough theme. However, not many people know really how much courage that took, because in some countries at that time in the Middle Ages, the punishment for a woman dressing as a man was death. So the heroine is definitely courageous. But here she's also talented, because she delights everyone with her singing and her harp playing. And to top it all off, she has a knowledge of the magical arts, because she weaves and sews a magical shirt for her husband, which you'll hear about in the story.
What do you know about the particular version you're telling in the concert, Angelica?
I've found numerous versions of this story. There are French, German and Russian versions of it, and one of them was actually collected by the Brothers Grimm. The oldest version I found was from a collection of tales compiled in Latin around 1300, probably by the Christian monks in England. And of course, the last story made me smile because the whole thing was interpreted in religious symbols. Unfortunately, I don't know much about this actual version because it was copied off of a tape that someone brought back from a historical harp conference. But I suspect this version was quite late, maybe after 1800, for a few reasons. For one thing, it tells us that the faithful wife of the knight was a broommaker's daughter, and that she played the harp. Well, in the Middle Ages, it was unheard of for a knight to marry a commoner, and the harp was only played by nobles. In fact, I read that in Scandinavia, in the Middle Ages, if a commoner was found playing a harp, he or she was put to death.
Getting back to your performance in Campbellford, what do you think will make this storytelling concert unique?
Betty's going to narrate, and the rest of us have all taken parts of the various characters in the story. So Robert's the knight, Don's the general, Rita's the sultan, and I'm the faithful wife. And to add to the atmosphere, we're all dressing up medieval. And of course, we've interspersed it with beautiful medieval and Middle Eastern tunes to make it really seem like an authentic work.
Thank you, Angelica and Betty. And now we'd love to hear you perform again.
Once a broommaker who lived in a humble cottage near the great castle of a knight. The broommaker had a lovely daughter who had taught herself to sing and play upon the harp. Every evening she would lay aside her day's work, and she would sit and sing and play. Sound of her music would carry across the rooftops on the night air to the castle where the knight stood listening by his window. One day, he asked the broommaker if he might be allowed to come to the cottage to listen to the music. Of course, the broommaker agreed. What else could a humble man do when a knight made such a request? After that, the knight looked forward all day long to the evening hours when he would sit and enjoy the sound of the broommaker's daughter's music. One day, the knight decided to hold a great music festival, and he invited every minstrel and musician in the land, and of course the broommaker's daughter was also invited. When it came her turn to play, her music so enchanted the entire company that she captured every heart, including that of the knight. When she had finished playing, the knight stood up and announced, "I shall marry the broommaker's daughter." And so he did, even though his friends and family thought it was a most unsuitable match. Not long after the wedding, the king called all of his knights together and told them that the Saracens had overrun the Holy Land. He felt it was his duty to raise an army and try to relieve it. The knight, even though he'd only been married a short time, had no choice but to go. He was obliged to follow his king in his campaign. And as for the broommaker's daughter, well, she was a new bride, and she was sorely grieved to see her husband go off to war. But she was a clever and wise woman, and on the morning of his departure, she came to him, bearing a shirt in her arms.
"My lord, I have woven and sewn this shirt for you with my very own hands, and know that it is a magic shirt. As long as we remain faithful to one another, the shirt will stay as white as snow. But should one of us prove untrue, the shirt will turn black."
"I shall wear it with honor, my lady." The knight donned the shirt and rode off with the other knights to the Holy Land. But there, although they fought very bravely, they were very badly beaten. Those who were not killed were taken captive and carried off as slaves.
Thank you both. That was wonderful. We've been listening to Angelica Ottewell and Betty Bennett, members of the Peterborough Storytellers, who will be performing their stories and music as part of World Storytelling Day on March 20th. There will be two performances, one in Peterborough on March 18th at 7 p.m. at George Street United Church, and then on Sunday, March the 20th. The storytelling concert will take place at the Clock Towers Cultural Centre in Campbellford at 2 p.m. Betty, is there a fee for the concert?
The concert is pay what you can, and the suggested donation is $5, and it's suitable for adults and children over 12 years of age.
And Angelica, if listeners would like to contact you about your performance at other events, how can they do that?
Right, well, I have a web page that has all my upcoming performances and engagements on it, and it's troberitz.ca, and that's spelled T-R-O-B-A-I-R-I-T-Z, Troberitz, which means a female troubadour. If you want to contact us about the Peterborough Storytellers, that we have...
We maintain a Facebook page, and if you go into Facebook, you don't have to have a membership. It's a public page, and if you enter the Peterborough Storytellers, all of the information about our concerts and events will come up. We also have a web page, and again, if you Google Peterborough Storytellers, it's the first one that comes up on the list. Don Harold maintains both of those for us. He's our online expert. And we also have an email list that I maintain, and anyone who comes to any of our concerts can add their names to our email list.
Thanks again to you both. It's been lovely to have you join us today. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us with comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll also find our broadcasts, archived so that you can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 and repeated at 1 a.m. on Thursdays on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.